Now let's come back to chapter 36, and we see King Hezekiah and the invasions of Sennacherib, king of Assyria. Now, there are actually three great sections here in this second division. We have Hezekiah and Assyria. That's 36 and 37. Then we have Hezekiah and Aboil, 38, and Hezekiah and Babylon, chapter 39. Now let me read verse 1. Here we have, "Now it came to pass in the 14th year of King Hezekiah that Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came up against all the defense cities of Judah, and he took them." Now, we have been through here a section beginning way back with Jotham, and we had Ahaz, now Hezekiah. And it began with the death of Uzziah. So now we've come to Hezekiah, who probably was one of the five great kings of Judah, because revival came in their time. Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joash, Hezekiah, and Josiah. And we have looked at this over in Chronicles especially. And we find that Hezekiah actually was a great king. Hezekiah began to reign when he was 5 and 20 years old, and he reigned 9 and 20 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abijah, the daughter of Zechariah, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father had done. Now that's 2 Chronicles 29:1-2. Now we have a picture here that Sennacherib, and he was king of Assyria, he came down like a flood from the north. He had taken every nation along the way, and flushed with victory, now he comes to Jerusalem, and of course expects it to fall as the others had. And this man, Hezekiah, was naturally frightened. And very frankly, although a good king, and a revival came in his reign, he was, I think, a weak king because he attempted to stave off the invasion of Jerusalem by bribing Sennacherib. We're told that back in 2 Kings. Hezekiah stripped the gold and the silver from the temple to meet the exorbitant demands of the king of Assyria. And it was no use because the army of Assyria was outside the gates of Jerusalem now. And what he had paid didn't help at all. You know, that's not something new. Our nation, since World War II, has followed a very weak policy. We have used the almighty dollar to buy friends throughout the world. And friends, we don't have many friends today. You don't buy them that way. The problem is that the real friend that Hezekiah had to finally turn to, we haven't yet learned to turn to, and of course that's the Lord. Now verse 2, "And the king of Assyria sent Rabshakeh from Lachish to Jerusalem unto King Hezekiah with a great army. He stood by the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field." Now Rabshakeh, the general, came down, and he's parked outside the gates of Jerusalem. And he is attempting now to put fear in the heart of Hezekiah and the people of Jerusalem so that they would surrender. Now, Hezekiah sends out a delegation to meet with him. Verse 3, "Then came forth unto him Eliakim, Hilkiah's son, which was over the house, Shebna, the scribe, and Joah, Asaph's son, the recorder. And Rabshakeh," verse 4, "said unto them, Say ye now to Hezekiah, Thus saith the great king, the king of Assyria, What confidence is this wherein thou trustest?" Now this man Rabshakeh very arrogantly expresses surprise that Hezekiah would even dare resist. And he wants to know the secret weapon in which Hezekiah trusts. And he suggests, first of all, that it might be Egypt. And he deals with these possibilities. And he then dismisses them as foolhardy. First of all, he says, is he trusting in Egypt? Well, he says in verse 6, "Lo, thou trustest in the staff of this broken reed on Egypt." And actually, Hezekiah was looking to Egypt, and he wasn't getting any help there. And in this sense, this man Rabshakeh is accurate. And then he suggests something else. Is it true that you are depending on your gods? Why, he says, don't you know Hezekiah has destroyed all the high places? You see, Rabshakeh had no sense of spiritual discernment. He didn't distinguish. He thought the worship out yonder, under those groves and on the hilltops with those heathen altars, was the same as the worship of the living God in Jerusalem. Had no discernment. And he just thought this man was destroying the worship of the people, so they had no God to turn to. And you know, today there are great many people that make no discernment. Every now and then some person will write me, or some person says to me, well, after all, Dr. McGee, all the churches are the same. They're striving for the same place. They're just like old Rabshakeh. They don't seem to know that there's some difference. Well, he made a mistake here. And the third possibility that's suggested here by Rabshakeh reveals the haughty attitude of the Assyrian. There was the bare possibility that Hezekiah was depending on his own resources and manpower to defend the city. And this is what he says. Verse 8, now therefore give pledges, I pray thee, to thy master, the king of Assyria, and I will give thee 2,000 horses, if thou art able on thy part to set riders upon them. He says, well, now to just make things equal, why, he says, we'll give you 2,000 horses, and that will make us more or less even, and even then you wouldn't be able to win. And then he suggests the fourth reason. He suggests that Jehovah of Israel has sent the Assyrian against Jerusalem, and therefore Jehovah's on the side of the Assyrian. And every now and then, well, in World War I, the Germans thought God was on their side, and we thought he's on our side. And the interesting thing is, I doubt very seriously whether he's on either side. And in this particular case, it was true God had used the Assyrian to destroy his people, but he's not going to let him take Jerusalem. And Eliakim and Shebna, they said to Rabshakeh, they said, shush, don't speak so loud, and speak to us in your tongue. We understand it. Don't speak in Hebrew. Because you see, Rabshakeh, he was great at giving out propaganda. Enemies always do that. And he's yelling at the top of his voice as he's giving out these different reasons. Why? Because the wall is filled with soldiers. And he wants the word to get to Jerusalem, you see, and get past these emissaries. And this man, Rabshakeh, just causes him to talk a little louder. Then they go in and they bring word to this man, Hezekiah, of what was really happening. And it was a pretty sad situation, by the way. And so what's going to happen now? Well, he keeps on saying, he says, you don't listen to Hezekiah. Beware lest Hezekiah persuade you, saying that the Lord will deliver you. He's not going to deliver you. Well, here's what happened. Verse 22, then came Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, that was over the household, Shebna the scribe, Joah the son of Asaph, the recorder, to Hezekiah with their clothes rent, told him the words of Rabshakeh. Now, clothes rent, they speak of humiliation and shame. After all, it was said of Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed even as a flower. But clothes, you know, they say today, makes the man. Well, when clothes are rent, it speaks of humiliation and shame.